All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton back with you to dig a little deeper into the book of Revelation. This week, we are looking at chapter 12, verses 10 through 12. I think I said last week we're going to cover the rest of the book or rest of chapter 12. And we got it divided up into a couple of different places because there are a few more things that I want to bring out next week in the final couple of verses in this chapter. But I want to get to the proclamation in verse 10 of this war being done, completed by Michael and his angels defeating the dragon and his angels. So let's look at verses 10 through 12 of chapter 12. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before our God. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." So far our text. So now we have this great proclamation, the loud voice in heaven, saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come." Dr. Brighton says the victory was won on the cross, as he has in chapter 5, verse 6, as well as John chapter 12, verses 31 to 32. And the completeness of that victory is demonstrated by the resurrection of the Christ for all to see and to witness, Revelation 1, 17 to 18, as well as Acts 2, 29 to 36. Now at the ascension and elevation of the Christ of God, that victory is fully displayed and consummated in the heavens when the dragon is expelled and can never again stand before God's heavenly glory. So now we have this proclamation, this great victory speech, which then brings us to Dr. Luther in his 1535 lectures on Galatians. And talking about this, "When I say Satan comes to you and accuses you not only of failing to do anything good, but of transgressing against the law of God, then you must say, 'You are troubling me with the memory of past sins. In addition, you are telling me that I have not done anything good. This does not concern me. For if I either trusted in my performance of good works or lost my trust because I failed to perform them, in either case, Christ would be of no avail to me. Therefore, whether you base your objections to me on my sins or on my good works, I do not care. For I put both of them out of sight and depend only on the freedom from which Christ has set me free." So again, this idea of being in Christ has set us free from all of it, all of the devil's temptations and wiles and accusations, because we are in Christ, and Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And so we point here to Romans chapter 8. "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because Christ is ascended into heaven and sitting at the right hand of God. We have no condemnation." It goes on into verse 33 to further explain this. "Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us." We have nothing to fear in Christ because Christ is there taking care of everything for us. We have no issues with the devil coming to us and pointing out our sins, because we can say, "Yes, I am guilty of all of them, but Christ has forgiven me all of those sins." You were bringing up the past. I am looking to the future. I am looking to being with my Savior. And this is where we get to verse 11. "They have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." And here we have both baptism as well as our witness as Christians. The Reformation Heritage Bible Commentary says this verse, verse 11, is one of the interpretive keys in Revelation, for it describes how people are victorious in the latter days. This victory comes through the blood of the Lamb. The church's victory over Satan was achieved through the blood shed by Jesus on the cross. John emphasized this point in his first letter. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins, 1 John 1:7. In the same letter, he said, "For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" 1 John 5, 4-5. Paul says the same thing in Romans 8:37. "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us." And then Hebrews 11, verses 35 to 38. "Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, and in dens and the caves of the earth." Who are these people? These are you and I. These are those who have come out of the great tribulation. They have made their robes white in the blood of the Lamb, as John reminds us in Revelation 7. These are the things by which we are victorious. The blood of Christ shed for you, covering you in the waters of baptism, nourishing you again and again through the body and blood of Christ given to you in the Lord's Supper. This is how we conquer. This is how we continue to remain conquerors. And so the great voice in heaven says, "Rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows that his time is short." The devil's time is short. It's been that way for the last 1900 years since Revelation was written. He has but a short time to attempt the destruction of God's creation. The end is soon to come, and then the dragon will be forever separated from all of God's creation. And so, as Dr. Brighton says, the devil sets to work at once with redoubled zeal, goaded by his defeat. The fact that he has been kicked out of heaven just redoubles his efforts to come after you and me. Just like the initial being kicked out of heaven and being thrown into the garden. What first thing he wants to do is take down Adam and Eve, the pinnacles of God's creation. And that's exactly what he does in making them eat the forbidden fruit. But God doesn't stop it there. God doesn't end the story there. God promises them the seed of the woman who would be the savior of the world, who would save them, who would conquer the devil, which he has in his cross. All right, this has been a really short one. I could have added this on to last week's, but I was worried that it might get to be too long, and I dislike having the long episodes, except for in the confessional corner where I am trying to cover all the material in a decent amount of time. But we're going to get into truly the rest of chapter 12 next week as we talk about that redoubled zeal that Satan has now, that he knows that his time is short. And then we get into, in 2 weeks, the beginnings of what everybody talks about in Revelation, the beast. But that's still 2 weeks away. We still have to finish up the dragon going after the woman and the child. But until then, this is Pastor Doug Minton, thanking you for being here, for digging deeper into the scriptures with me, especially as we go through this wonderful book of Revelation. And I pray that God's richest blessings be upon you as you wrestle with the theologies around you this week and always. Amen.